Mostly John Wesley. John Wesley came out of the Episcopal Church. Most of your, quote, denominations are nothing more than split-offs from other Protestant denominations. All of your Protestant denominations came out of Rome, okay? And it basically, it began with two men, Luther and Calvin, Zwingli a little bit. But Luther started the Lutheran Church, which was basically a split-off of Roman Catholicism. Before that, you had the Greek Orthodox, which split off, which was basically your Eastern side of Roman Catholicism, and then the Western. From that, you had a split with Martin Luther. And they split off because they knew that you guys aren't going by the Bible and something's wrong, but of course they still had a Catholic hangover and still sprinkled babies and did a lot of unscriptural things. At the same time, you also had the Church of England, and they knew they didn't want to be under Rome's authority, and so they made their own church, and they said, we'll be our own church here, and of course there's a lot of history on all that with Rome trying to get in there and take over, and they'll probably do it within the next 5 years or so for sure, but they've been trying to do it for a long, 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 long time. That's where you get Bloody Mary and all that stuff and all that history. That's what it's all about. It's all feuds and Rome trying to get in there and take back over, and then England coming in, and then England rescuing France from under Rome's control for a while, and then Rome getting it back, and you know, just all the different things that went on. When King James was in power, France and England and Scotland and Ireland and Wales were all considered Great Britain. Those were all King James Empire, that whole thing. See? So there's been a lot of going back and forth with all that. And so that was your Episcopalian, your Church of England, right, was that. Your Calvinists started from John Calvin, and he was just got off into a bunch of wild stuff, but basically they were kind of a split off and started with John Knox and them in Scotland, and started the Presbyterians, which came out basically out of the Church of England. You had the Congregationalists, which came out of that. You had the Nazarene Church, which came out of the Methodists. Bud Robinson, and they broke off from the Methodists, started the Nazarene. So if you have a Nazarene Church, that's a break off from the Methodists. So all of them kind of are all offshoots and split off of the Roman Catholic Church, with the exception of the Baptists. Baptists have always been. See? This idea that somebody started the Baptists, nonsense. Baptists have always been. They've used different names. They were called Baptists, and before that they were called Anabaptists, which basically meant that they didn't accept infant baptism. They didn't count on baptism for salvation. See, they were scriptural. And that thing, and they were called all kinds of names back through history. Monetists and Donatists and Paulicians and Lollards, a bunch of different names in different areas and stuff that they were called. But basically they were Bible-believing Christians just like you and I. Not a lot of history about them, because Rome took care of most of that. You know, they ruled with an iron fist, man. And anytime they would take over an area, they would make it under Rome, and if you resisted, you were burned at the stake. Yeah. In her was the blood of the martyrs of Jesus and the blood of the saint, all them that are slain upon the earth. It all goes back to Mother Whore. All of it. All you got to do is study her, history a little bit to know that. So. But yeah, the Methodists were an offshoot from them, and they were pretty straight, except for, you know, they believed that you could lose your salvation, and basically to get saved you had to kind of pray through, and you know, yeah, they do sprinkling. Some of them did immersion. Some of the old time North Carolina types did do the immersion for baptism. Now it's so far from what, I mean, if Wesley could see the Methodist Church today, he'd roll over in a grave. Yeah, but so you know, but That's with all of them, but that's the idea, is they're all going back to Rome. They're all going back to Rome, see. They'll either be back before the rapture or after, but they're all going back to Rome. Hymnal? Oh, bulletin. Yeah. Yeah. But see, their idea of the Holy Catholic Church is the universal church of the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's why we're talking
about
funeral.
Right. Yeah.
Dictionary.
Right.
It ain't the Roman Catholic.
Right, it's just Catholic as in universal. Right. Right. See, Rome believes they're the universal church and everything runs through them and they're supposed to be in charge of everything. Because that's where the vicar of Christ is seated, the Pope. That's how it goes. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck? Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Hi. Yeah, they're big into that. Yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. That's, you know. Yeah, any way to make a buck, you know. Right. It's not like their people are going to tithe and stuff. You know, they get their wills. That's how they do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, they get you coming and going, you know. They get you with fees and all kinds of stuff, yeah. All right, let's go on now. John chapter 3. What did I miss? Well, we could do that. We can go through our old membership list, you know. To continue your membership, your dues need to be paid up. Ah, we'd give her some members real quick there. Clear out the rolls real fast. John chapter 3. Yeah, I think so. Rusty, are we... Right. John chapter 3. And so now the home of the soul during the church age, the age that you and I live in, John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him, references the Son of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In this day and age, it's real simple. Believe on Christ, you go to heaven. Reject him, you don't. Boom, done. Real fine line there, no if, ands, or buts. The Lord makes it real clear. Nothing that, basically what it is the wrath of God abides on you. You're in condemnation because of sin. God's wrath is against sin. And you receive Christ, God takes all your sins away, and his wrath is over, and otherwise, boom, you go to hell. So, look in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Who said that? Jesus Christ. And you got a bunch of preachers running around saying, well, fear doesn't really mean fear. It means fear, according to Jesus Christ. It means God has power not just to kill you, but God has power to send your soul to hell. That's who you want to fear, and if you feared him, you'd do something about it. That's the point Jesus Christ is making, see? Look over there in 2 Corinthians. We already looked in chapter 12. Look in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. We know that paradise has been moved up to the third heaven. And so now when we die, not only does our spirit go up, but now our soul can go up, so our spirit and soul can stay together because our spirit's been quickened. See? Our spirit and our soul don't go any separate place. Our spirit and our soul stay together through the work of the spiritual circumcision of Christ. And we looked at that on our study on the Trinity of Man. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if our earthly house, that's this body you're walking around in now, right, of this tabernacle, that's like a tent, it's a dwelling place, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, the eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident until we lose it, knowing that... Now you see the craziness of that? You realize once you believe, like John Hagee, that you can lose your salvation, that you have to throw out half the Bible? Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing as God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. How can you always be confident if you think you could lose it? You realize the craziness of that? Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Where's the Lord? Is he seated at the right hand of the Father? Well, then if we leave this body, where do we go? Oh, we're right up there with him. And then we appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the bad news. Well, look at Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Well, paradise isn't there anymore. And obviously there was going to be billions of people to come. So, wherever paradise was and wherever that gulf was, they're gone. And that whole area now is hell. Down on earth. Because there's no more paradise. And that room isn't needed. So hell hath enlarged herself. So the saved go to paradise, which is in heaven. The lost still go to hell, which is now enlarged down in the center of the earth. Not only does our soul and our spirit go to heaven, but we've also been promised by God, that one day he's going to give us a new body to fit our soul and spirit, a new body that will be able to live in heaven. See? Your body you're in now wouldn't be able to do that. You understand that? What is the oxygen level in heaven? What's the atmospheric pressure in heaven? You don't even know, you see? They can't even make it up to the second heaven, and they need some giant spacesuit. See? There's no way. Do you understand? God's going to have to give you a body that can live in his presence in heaven. And he's going to do it. That's what he's promised. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4, 14. Knowing that if we don't lose our salvation, he which grace up... You understand, like I said, you have to throw out half your Bible. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. Do you know that? You know you're one of the us? See? That's what being saved is. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Shall, knowing. There's no doubt about any of that stuff there. That's settled. That's done. If you're saved, the promise is just as Jesus was raised in a glorified body, one day we too will be raised in glorified bodies. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I was able to preach the funeral of a saved man, and that was a blessing. See? I like that, because I know where I know. I'm not up there just talking. Get up there and preach one of those things, and you're able to tell people he's in heaven. And one day he's going to get a new body, and he's going to be with the Lord. And if I didn't believe that, what's the point of being in the ministry? Is it just me, or is 75% of the world going absolutely nuts? What?
That was wonderful,
and
we just were ready to go.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I sure was. I was ready. Try to stay ready. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead, Jehovah's Witnesses? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You're not saved. If you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, you couldn't be saved. That's part of the gospel. How can you call upon him to save you if he's dead? You're trusting a dead man. He can't do anything for you. We're trusting a living Savior who saved us, right? If we're trusting a living Savior that saved us, then the promise is if he's resurrected, he's going to resurrect us too. That's what he's promised to do for us. Praise the Lord. Look over in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See, this body you're in now? Can't do it. Your blood's no good. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know that's true, right? Your blood's no good. We ate off a tree and it messed up our blood. You understand that? That's why you die. You know why you breathe? What happens if you don't get oxygen in your blood? Yeah. What if you could live without oxygen? How would you die? You know what happens when oxygen gets in your blood? It changes color. You know what color your blood is? It's blue. But it needs oxygen. And when it's oxygenated, it turns red. Take some old good cold blue steel or iron and oxygenate it. It rusts. What color does it turn? You know, the red planet? Mars? You know that red spot on Jupiter? There's a problem with iron. That's an interesting study sometime. Why don't you do that? Look up the word iron in the Bible. You know what the chemical symbol for iron is? On the chemical chart? It's Fe. So you got male and you got, you know what women have trouble with? Problem with the blood. And iron got in there. Son, it's, I don't know. All the answers are in the Bible. I don't know what they all are, but I know where they're at. They're all in there. Look, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen? And so the Lord has promised us, what? A glorified body, a better body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. He's going to give us a body that'll never die, that'll never age, that'll never rust, that'll never corrupt, that'll never fall apart, never lose your hair. You ever have to clip your toenails? All that. It'll be wonderful. Do you realize how much time you have to spend taking care of this carcass? You ever think about it? That's what this whole thing's about. We're running all these errands for a dead man. Yeah, that's what it wants to eat. You got to feed it. It wants to be warm. You got to get it a place to stay. See? Next. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah, you see, he knows his wife's in the nursery and the speaker ain't working back there. All right, Natalie, we fooled him. You can come out now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Listen, if you're not saved, then you don't have that hope, the blessed hope. You don't have any. What are you going to do after? Nothing. There isn't anything there. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. See, when the Lord comes back from heaven, he's bringing all the souls of all those that have died and gone on before with him. They're all coming back with the Lord when he descends from heaven. See? Everybody that's died in the Lord is up there. The Lord's bringing them all back down with him. And when he comes back with them, he's going to change us, and he's going to resurrect them in new bodies, and then we're all going to go up together. Got it? That's what we're talking about here. Excuse me. Verse 15. Excuse me. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. And that word prevent in that sense means like pre-advent, go ahead of. Pre-event, see. Prevent them which are asleep, those that have gone on before. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. All right, when he does, what's he going to do? Verse 14, he's going to bring them with him. Those that are already asleep in Jesus, he's going to bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What does that mean? Yeah, they're rising up out of the ground. So if we, right, if we happen to be near a cemetery when the rapture happens, we'll hear that trumpet. But before we're ever changed, we're going to see the dead coming up out of the ground. Some kind of sci-fi movie stuff, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just happening right now. And next thing you know, boom, we're changed in a moment in twinkling of an eye. See? And we're changed and they're all, and then we all whoop, go up together with the Lord. Yeah. But it really won't be a whoop. That was kind of a, you know, exaggeration. It's more like a flip. Well, how long does the trumpet blow? How long does the trumpet blow? How long does the trumpet blow? I mean, he said the trump of God, right? With the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. See? Look back there in 1 Corinthians 50. And look in verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. The trumpet. It's one trumpet. A trump is the sound that the trumpet makes. All we know is when the trumpet stops sounding, we go up. But we have no idea how long that is. See? I mean, after Jesus resurrected, how long was he on the earth before he went up? Well, weren't there a whole bunch that were resurrected with him and showed them, went into the city and showed themselves unto many? For 40 days. Wouldn't that be wild? What if the trumpet blew and the dead in Christ rose and were around for 40 days showing themselves to everybody? And then we all went up. How do you know how long? I don't know. You know. Now there's a picture of it back there in Exodus, but I don't, you know, you can't. Look back there in Exodus. Chapter 19. Exodus 19. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. All right, that's what we're doing right now, right? He said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not your wives. Third day, after 2,000 years? After 2,000 years is the third day. Came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet. Doesn't that sound familiar? Exceeding loud. So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. You know who's going to hear the trumpet? We are. We're the people in the camp. The world ain't going to hear it. But we are. We're going to hear it. Huh? Probably when he says, come up hither, they'll hear it. They'll hear a thunder or something when God speaks. That'd be it. Yeah, a loud thunder. See? That's what it was when the Lord spoke and people heard it. They said it thundered. Yep. Yeah, see? How long is that going on? Verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Hallelujah. They stood at another part of the mount, where they're all being gathered together. Mount Sinai was altogether in the smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in the fire, and the smoke thereof ascended to the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Boom. So that's the... We'll hear it, man. I mean, it's going to be loud when we first hear it, and it's going to get louder. It said it was exceeding loud, and then it says it's getting louder and louder. So it's going to be almost excruciating. We're going to be trembling. Oh, I'll be excited. It'll be the rapture. It's going to finally hit you that this thing is real. It's going to finally hit you. You know what you're going to do? You're not going to be able to contain yourself. No, you're not going to be able... Listen, if it happened when we were in church, some of you might actually shout and say amen once. Yeah. Amen. Some of you are actually going to fit. You understand, it's all this stuff is faith, you realize? It's just really, you really believe in it or just saying you believe it? See? That's all it's about. That's what this whole thing's about. Yeah, it's not just about, you know, let's be good boys and be good girls and let's have a nice family. That ain't it. It's reality, man. This is what it's all. This is salvation. We're going to heaven. Isaiah 66, they'll live as long as God lives. Isaiah 66, Rusty. Oh yeah, you could say, hey, the Lord's getting ready to come, you better get saved right now. It might be too late at that point, I don't know. Oh yeah, you'd be out there preaching. We'd be out there trying to tell everybody then. Then we'll be like, I should have gone on visitation. I should have gone and be too late then. Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass, it's a reference to the millennium here. Now, where are the souls of people going during the millennium? When Christ comes back and sits on the throne in Jerusalem, reigning on the earth, right? What's going to happen then? Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. See? Everybody's going to have to go and appear before the Lord and worship Him. And they shall go forth. After they leave there, they've got to head south. And they're going to go past the Dead Sea area. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men. You know where the Lord talked about their body and soul being cast into hell? How can your body be cast into hell now? It will be in the millennium. Hell's on the earth. It's a lake of fire on the earth around the Dead Sea area, Sodom and Gomorrah area. The lowest place on the earth. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. Neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, Susie, Junior, come here. Now, look. Now, you see what that boy did, and he cursed his mommy, and now, see, he's burning forever in the fire, so be good. Yes, Mama. That's the millennium. He's ruling with a rod of iron. He ain't playing around. Yeah, and more. It's the law in the sense of what he gave in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. It's paradise. It's paradise on the earth. You want paradise on the earth? Get rid of sin. Keep it to a minimum. And he'll do it. And he does it that way. See? It's just like, you know, it used to be in this country that, you know, you stole a horse, they'd hang you. And they'd have a public hanging, and all the kids would come and watch. That kept a lot of kids straight. Kept them out of a lot of trouble. See? Okay. Now you go on trial, and then appeal, and, you know, after 20 years, you know, they might... Whole different thing. That's what it says there in Ecclesiastes, because... I can't even remember how the verse goes now. Because it's not executed speedily, therefore it is fully set in the hearts of the sons of men to do evil. Alright, because judgment is not executed speedily, something, I can't remember what it is. I think judgment. Because judgment is not executed speedily, therefore it is fully set in the hearts of the sons of men to do evil. In other words, when you don't see that's why some of you just keep going on with some of the stuff you do. Because you haven't paid a price for it, so. If there was judgment immediately, you wouldn't. And that's the way it is. Look over there in, I don't know why I had that down there. That's crazy. Verse 34. Don't ask me. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, right. That millennium. Yeah. Yeah, but they got... That's every lie is just a truth in the Bible that's been misplaced. Because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. That's how you get in all the messes they get into. Chuck? Okay. Uh-huh. Yes. Rule and reign with them for 1,000 years. Yeah. Huh? Right. The increase of his government, there should be no end. We're going to govern with him. See? How's the Lord going to be able to govern over everybody around the whole world? Well, he's got us helping him out there. See? Okay. Tribulation, 7 years, right? Uh-huh. Then we come back, right, with him to the earth, and the Lord will reign for 1,000 years, the Sabbath. One day is just 1,000 years. The Lord's rest. Mm-hmm. That's the seventh day. Right. And he comes back to reign for 1,000 years on the earth with us. See? So that's what we're talking about there. I don't probably not even have any of that stuff in here. What's the... Oh, man. There is another verse on it, and maybe that's where that verse 34 thing is from. And I'm trying to remember where it is. I know there's a place in Ezekiel. There might be another place in Isaiah, too. But it talks about... there'll be burning pitch, and all right, let's have a timeout. I want to find this thing. Ryan, run back there in my office and grab me that concordance, because I don't want to take up everybody's time. Thank you. All right, I'm getting warm. Hold on. Yeah, too late. Okay. It's Isaiah chapter 34. That's why I had the 34. That wasn't verse 34. That was a whole chapter, see? Isaiah 34. Now, how come y'all couldn't figure that out? All right, look in chapter 34. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. All nations? You mean including the United States of America? And his fury upon all their armies. And he hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Valley of Armageddon. See, this is the second coming of Christ. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. The mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. All the stars fall. There's no stars in the millennium. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf. All their hosts, see, that's the stars, shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, shall come down upon Edomai. That's the land of Edom. That's the land south of the Dead Sea. And upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness. With the blood of... See, this is the blessed good gospel of the Bible. And it's all... God is love. And a lot of the Bible ain't that, folks. A lot of the Bible is judgment. See, you can't just have one without the other. Verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood, is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats. fat of kidneys of rams for the Lord as a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them. Well, we're coming on horses, aren't we? And the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. Now watch it. And the streams thereof, this is the land of Idumea, shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. That's like tar, but it's on fire. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. Those are unclean birds, a picture of unclean spirits, of demons, in the Bible. And he shall stretch upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles there up to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all the princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be a habitation of dragons, and a court for owls. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay, and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vulture also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. That's a good idea. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit hath gathered them. What's he do? He gathers all the birds to eat the flesh. See, when he comes back after, he destroys them all. And he hath cast a lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Now that land right there, see, that's the land right south of the Dead Sea. And it's called the Dead Sea for a reason. And if you think that's where you're going to find the Bible, you're a nut. Why would you want something dead when you have something alive? You think you're going to improve it with something that came from the Dead Sea? The area of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. See? The Lord, that's what he's doing. He's making a lake of fire on that thing. And people are going to have to, after they come and worship the Lord, they're going to have to go and take a look to see the souls of them that have disobeyed the Lord. You understand, in the millennium, there's no faith. It's all faith now. All we have is the Bible. This is it. We're going by faith. See, we're believing that God meant what he said and said what he meant. But in the millennium, there's no faith. It's all by sight. We'll be there with the Lord. The Lord will be there reigning. There won't be any, well, where did God come from? And all that, you know, you won't have that then. There'll be no questions. There'll be no Jehovah Witnesses running around knocking on people's doors. You won't have any of that nonsense. There'll be one God and his name one, and he'll rule the world with a rod of iron. See? It's a theocracy run by God himself on a throne. There's no elections, there's no politicians. It is paradise. No lawyers. It is paradise. See? The Lord's going to make paradise on the earth. That's what all that is. Now, at the same time, look at Matthew 5. We'll look at this first, Matthew 5. So this will be the law of the land. It'll be the Sermon on the Mount. See, the Lord's giving his doctrine for his millennial kingdom here in Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, how many of you have done that? How many of you have ever called your brother Reka? Well, it's obviously a Jewish thing. It's not that deep. Yeah, think about it. See? Called your brother Rekha, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Really? You ever read 1 Corinthians 13 or 15? You ever read the book of Galatians? Both places, Paul says, thou fool. Obviously, he knew that the Lord wasn't talking about for the church age here. He's talking about the millennium. In the millennium, you can't call somebody a fool. You can now, but you can't in the millennium. What? There sure are. But the Lord will take care of that, see? But you'll be in danger of what? Hell fire. See? They'll just cast your whole body and soul right into hell fire. Look in verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body, you see that, should be cast into hell. When's that? In the millennium. The Lord's given the directions, the law to be followed during the millennial reign. Verse 30, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. He's not just talking about your soul there, is he? He's talking about your soul and your body being cast into hell. All right. Now, who had questions? I saw some hands. Chuck? Spit it out now. Now's your time. Now's your turn. All right.
So when he comes back, reign on earth for 1,000 years.
Right.
But you'll still be saved.
People are saved. They can only get lost. You understand? Everybody's saved in the sense that if you're there in the millennium, you're saved. Right? But if you do certain things, you can be damned. You understand? Yeah, it's the people that are born during the millennial kingdom. Just like people are being born now. There'll be people being born during the millennial reign of Christ. Okay? And the way it works in the millennium is you're good to go until you mess up. Now it's the opposite. See? You're bad to go until you get saved. In the millennium, you're good to go until you mess up. See? And if you mess up too much, that's it. You're done. See? Do you understand? Okay, so, yeah, it's just because it's a different time. It's a different thing going on because nobody's saved by believing on Christ in the millennium. How can you believe on Christ if he's right there on the earth? You see? Yeah. We're already in. We're already reigning with them. Yeah, it's nothing to do with us at all. Right. Okay, now if the lost will be in a lake of fire on the earth for everybody to see, where do the saved go? Where? Well, Jesus is on the earth. Who are they going to be with? They go to paradise. Where's paradise? Ah. He's reading ahead. Which I said most likely is located at the Sea of Galilee. Well, why? Well, you find the Dead Sea, and you go north. That's the Jordan River. And you go all the way north, and you end up at the end of that thing, which is the Sea of Galilee. You have north. You have south. You got heaven. You got hell. The Lord's got that thing worked out. You look directly north and south from each other. Right up the Jordan River. Huh? Yeah. Where do their souls go? Yeah, but where's paradise now? Now, where will it be in the millennium? Right. Where on earth? Because if there's no faith, then people have to see where it is. They have to be able to see them. Yeah, it's everything's on the earth. There's no faith, you see? Well, then, there's a great gulf between. Right, see, you got the Jordan River in between. You got a lake down here, see? That's how that thing works. You got the Dead Sea down here. You got the Sea of Galilee up here. That's where Jesus was at all the time. Yeah, that's why he's hanging around there a lot. Or as it says, Galilee of the Gentiles. Yeah. That's good. You know what Jesus did one time on the Sea of Galilee? Look in Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Not just Jesus walked on the water. Peter did too. Why did the Lord let that happen? And it was on the Sea of Galilee. See? The only time anybody ever walked on water was on the Sea of Galilee. Remember the rich man in hell? What did he ask Lazarus to do for him? In water? Where's Lazarus at? Wherever he is, there's water. Paradise, there's water. Up in heaven, the sea of glass, Revelation chapter 4, the great deep, the face of the deep is frozen. It's water. Wherever paradise is, there's water. Always. See? All right, paradise on the earth, when Jesus Christ is reigning, it'll be where there's water. And it has to be a sea. So most likely, from what I can see, it's probably going to be the Sea of Galilee, because that's the only place that anybody ever walked on the water, was the Sea of Galilee. Look there in Revelation 4, real quick. I mentioned it, but just so you can see the verse for yourself, Revelation chapter 4. And this is when John goes up to heaven, he sees the Lord, he's seeing what's going on up there in the third heaven. See? And he says in verse 3 that he sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, a sight like an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning for the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. See? And so you've got that great deep that's up there in heaven, that separates between the second heaven and the third heaven that we were talking about, right? And there's something, let me find the verse for that for you real quick here. A verse on that talks about the face of the deep being frozen. So basically you've got frozen water up there in heaven. That's that sea of glass. Look in Job 38. Look at verse 31. Job 38, verse 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? What's he talking about? He's talking about the stars. He's talking about the second heaven, right? Look at verse 30. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. There it is. Okay. That great deep that's up there is top of that thing's frozen where heaven is. It's a sea of glass. Right? So you've got water. Wherever paradise is at any time, there's always water there. Now look in Revelation chapter 20. At Revelation chapter 20, this is during the time of the millennial reign of Christ, and then everybody is brought up to heaven, see? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Notice this is right after, what, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired. See? So you've had 1,000-year reign on the earth, and at the end of the thing, the devil's going to be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, verse 10. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for him. So at the end of the millennium, the whole earth and heaven are just burned up. Just like that, when the Lord just, what does he do? He takes away that deep. Yeah, see, he just divides the deep, just like with Pharaoh. And he just opens that thing up and says, look at me. You know, the same world that said, let's make Jesus naked on a cross. Well, one day, God says that the heaven is like a garment. It's a veil. And one day, God's going to move the veil out of the way. And the glory of God will just burn this whole thing up, just like that. Well, he does it. And what's going to happen, verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. Now watch it. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The saved in the millennium. Now watch. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. The lost in the millennium. And they were judged every man according to their works. There you go. See? So you got two different classes going up. You got those out of the sea, and then you got death and hell. So obviously those out of the sea is the saved. They're on a sea somewhere. They're on a sea somewhere. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So, that's how that whole thing is going to end up, the eternal souls. Now, the final home of the soul in eternity is right there. It's the lake of fire for all the lost. It's a lake. See, but weren't they in hell? Yeah, and they go from hell to the lake of fire. See? Go jump in a lake. Out of the frying pan. Into the fire. Yeah, that's basically it. Look in verse 8 of chapter 21. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There it is. So all the lost from all eternity end up in one place. It's the lake of fire. Now when the Lord talked about it, when people were being cast into it, when the Lord was still on the earth, he said outer darkness. Because when people are still on the earth, you can't see where it is. But after the Lord destroys the second heaven, you'll see the lake of fire. And you'll see where the Lord is, and you'll see where all the lost are being cast into this lake of fire at that time. And what about those that are saved? Where are they going to end up? Look in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. Why? No more death. No more sea, because there's no reason anymore to have a place for the saved to go when they die, because they'll no longer die for all eternity. So there's no more sea. Got it? Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And when he makes them all new, you know when they start getting old? Everything stays new forever. I don't think there'll be any cars in heaven, but if they are, they'll always be new. There won't be any used car lots. There won't be any used clothes. See? Everything will stay new. Why? There's no corruption. Nothing falls apart. Nothing wastes away. Nothing tires out. Nothing dies. It's eternal life. Verse 6, and he said unto me, "It is done." Oh, I'm sorry, we missed verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are figurative and apocalyptic and hard to understand." These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Woo! Good to be saved. Verse 9. "There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the full of the seven last plagues, and he talked to me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." And he goes down and he explains the whole thing, and he gets into chapter 22. I like, probably out of all of it, I just like the what he says there in verse 4 of chapter 22. "They shall see his face." Wow. I mean, just like we're looking at each other right now face to face, seeing Jesus Christ like that one day, man, your creator. Whew. That's going to be something. Yeah, Chuck? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look over there and give you a couple examples here. But, well, just one. This one ought to do it. But look in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Look in verse 1. "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was light, white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." How did he know it was Moses? How did he know it was Elias? Here's what's even wilder. When had he ever seen Moses or Elijah? It's just an automatic thing. Just automatic one. Because you have the mind of Christ. See? Won't be nothing to figure out. That's what we're trying to do now. See, you know why? We're in darkness, and we're trying to get all the light we can from the third heaven that's down in this book coming out to us that we can to get a real idea of reality, because this is the real reality. And the world is in darkness, the Bible says. This is the light. And what we try to do is get as much of this as we can to get a better understanding of reality. That's all. That's all we can do. We get a little pinholes here and there and try to get enough light to get something. Even then, it's just like the lattice. And, you know, you ever look through a lattice at something and kind of, is that, I can't recognize, who is that, you know. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face? Now we know in part, but then shall we know even as we are known? Even as we are known? How much does the Lord know? Well, he says that's what we'll know. Yeah, school's out. School's out. Yeah. All right, any other questions before we head on out? Huh? All right, let's go ahead and... Yeah, you already make a know me. You'll know where they are. And it wouldn't matter if they were 15 light years away. You could go visit them in a second. See, we can't even... It's too much. We can't get it. That's the problem is this thing right here, it can't hold it all. Because you're dealing with this here, which is God and heaven and eternity, when we have a mind like Christ, we can't. And these teen brains trying to grasp all that stuff, it's just, you know, it's beyond us. But I'll tell you this much, it's real. You understand what we're looking at and all this stuff here? This wasn't written by one particular man or a prophet of this or that. These are different writers at different times and different places, different languages, and it's all coming together. It all fits as one book because there is one author behind it. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God put that whole book together. There's no way around it. If you don't believe it yet, just stay around for a while and you'll see that thing right there is dynamite. That thing right there is the Word of God. I have no doubt about it. I've read that thing through I don't know how many times now, and I'm telling you right now, it wasn't written by man. There's no way. Yeah. And I've got something I put in my Bible right here, and it's just a little reminder. It says, the Bible couldn't come from good men. Because if they were good men, and if this really isn't the Word of God, and they said that they were good men, then they were lying to us. So they weren't good men. The Bible wouldn't come from bad men. Bad men wouldn't write a Bible that told us how to do good. Yeah. All right, Rusty, you want to close us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord, one will see as many of you as possible, men, tomorrow for the breakfast. Don't forget, 9 o'clock tomorrow if you can make it.